Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American,
American. Well, good afternoon to another exciting adventure here on Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Annie the Radio Chick, along with my so patient, my so understanding, my so absolutely wonderful co-host, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Mikey.
I'm only on right now to let you know that I'm not speaking with you, because if I were giving you a silent treatment, you wouldn't know I'm not speaking with you. But for those who wonder what I'm talking about as we start the show, Annie is in a famous diner, and as you know, I'm obsessed with diners and little dives, and she's sending me these pictures, just rubbing it in my face of all the, oh my gosh. And on top of that, it's like, this is one of these, Annie called me an hour or so ago to tell me she was there. Annie, this is like one of the places before I die I have to go to. And I'm like, and you're there. It's like, oh. I'm smothering with jealousy and envy. But anyway, it is great to be here,
no,
everyone.
Not only was I there, I was there when they filmed the movie. I lived there. I actually was physically three blocks away. Literally. I lived up on the top of the hill. My backyard was a street on such an angle that when it snowed nice and heavily, they blocked off the street. Completely, it was just a little one block. They would block off the back street, which is my backyard, and the kids would go sledding, damn it. And we had a tea garden at the back of the house, so I would go on one of those mornings when they blocked off the street, go down with a bunch of hot cocoa, down through the tea garden, lean over the fence, and give these kids hot cocoa as they were sledding with their parents. I mean, you want to talk about small-town America. We're driving through here, and I am reminiscing. If anyone wants to know what's going on, I am not calling from my normal studio in Beaufort, South Carolina today. I am in Northport, New York. Northport, New York is a small little harbor town. It used to be a whale shipbuilding town on Long Island, New York. And going through here, it is so absolutely beautiful. Some of these homes go back to colonial times. And, I mean, the architecture and in the summer months here, it is so colorful. And so, I mean, matter of fact, tonight they're having an antique car show downtown.
Wow, awesome. Ah. And we have a great guest, but this is a show we're doing on the fly because I actually now I had to leave the monitor to go pick my mom up. So hopefully I'll be back in 10 minutes to the monitor. But you know what? This is amazing. This is Blog Talk. This is two tea partiers, no matter what. We're grabbing a broom and a mop, and we're getting the job clean.
Absolutely, absolutely. We do have Amber and Hart.
Before we get to our guests, did you like the comment regarding, I think it was MSNBC, compared us to the Nazi movement, Annie? We're Nazis.
Who's this? Wait. Back up, because I haven't had any tea. I haven't had TV or radio for the last 24 hours, so back up.
Some NBC show, wasn't Chris Matthews, but they compared the Tea Party movement to the Nazi movement. It was on Sunday,
and
right after they had, yeah, we're Nazis now.
And you're surprised? How? Why should you be surprised? I mean, they've been doing this since 2009 to us. So, I mean, I'm no longer surprised. It's like water rolling off a duck's back. Like, sticks and stones can break my bones.
Yep, that's sure.
Absolutely. Now, I want to welcome everyone into the guest room, and I see we are honored for two shows in a row. I mean, I am flabbergasted. Dr. C. Robert Jones is in the house. And our good friend T.P. is in the house. I mean, I am honored. I am flabbergasted. And to let you guys know is that I checked our numbers this morning. I mean, like I said, I've been incognito for the last 24 hours. We drove from Beaufort, South Carolina, all the way up here to Northport, New York, yesterday in one trip. And a single trip like that normally takes, I'd say 13 and a half hours. We've never gone longer than that. This time it took us 15 hours and 45 minutes. So we get up here, find out a tree went through my sister-in-law's power lines and phone lines, so she has no telephone and no TV or anything. So I am using Yanni's cell phone to get on the Internet as my Wi-Fi tether, and I'm using my cell phone, so God willing, we do not get busted off. So, I mean, what I'm going to do, I'm going to say, Mike, is at the end of the show, we'll do our dedication because I know our guest is calling in. And I don't know what number she is calling from. She's calling in Ann Bernhardt. And I do see two calls lighting up the line. I think one of them is Thomas and one of them may be our guest. So let's go ahead and do that. And I know you have to bug out for 10 minutes, but let's try to do that ahead of time. How's that sound?
All right. That whatever it takes, Tea Party lady, or Nazi, excuse me, whatever it takes.
All right. Let me bring in, I think this might be Thomas. Let me bring this individual on. And area code 816, you're on the air live with Southern Sense. This is Annie, the host, and who am I speaking to?
Annie, I'm just listening.
Okay, Thomas.
Hi, Thomas.
Thomas, if you do go into the chat room, let me know if you want to come back and ask some questions or add some comments. But I do have you here, and I'm going to mute your mic, okay, baby?
All righty.
All right. And I've got here area code 661. This is Southern Sense. I'm the host, Annie, and who am I speaking to?
Hi, this is Ann here. Can you hear me?
Hi, Ann. This is Annie.
Yeah.
And I'm glad, you know what, I always love it when a woman spells Ann the correct way.
That's right. Three letters, no ridiculous silent E's. We don't roll that way.
What scares me the most is I'm co-hosting with two Anns, and they both know how to use guns. That puts shivers down my spine.
Yes, it does. We've got Ann Bernhardt as our guest tonight. Ann, I really do have to apologize. I am not in my studio down in Beaufort, South Carolina. I am up in Northport, New York for a funeral. So I am using my cell phone. So if there's a little bit of a delay and I do ask you to repeat something, I apologize. It's not the best connection, but I'm doing the best I can.
Oh, no problem at all. I'm in a van down by the river, so we're all just doing the best we can.
You know, you are a... I actually read about you a couple of years ago when you had a company called Capital Management. And at the time, I had just started up my radio show, and I put your name aside to talk to you one day, and I never got around, honestly, to follow up. And what you did absolutely floored me. You have had this wonderful customer, a great customer base, and then you decided just overnight to fold everything. And when I read your reasoning, I said, this is a woman with a ton of guts. God bless her. And I put you, and like I said, I put your name aside, and I said, I really do have to follow up and talk to you again. And thankfully, Andrea Shea King kicked me in the butt and reminded me and reached out. But can you explain what was going on with the company and why you decided to do what you did?
Sure. The name of the company was Barnhart Capital Management. I was a commercial hedge broker, which means I traded futures and options on the exchange in Chicago. And my specialty was cattle and grain. My customers, a lot of people, they throw around the term hedge fund, and that's not what I was at all. I was a commercial hedge broker, which means that all of my clients actually owned real physical cattle. My clients were ranchers and feedlots and farmers, so they had actual physical cattle and actual physical corn, and they were using the futures markets for their pure original intent, which was as forward delivery contracts. So they were literally, truly, genuinely hedging their risk on the futures markets. And then what happened in the fall of 2011 is John Corzine, who was one of the central oligarchs, super duper tight with the Obama regime. He was openly declared as being the next Treasury Secretary after Timothy Geithner. So after Obama's first term, it was understood that Timothy Geithner was going to step down as Treasury Secretary and that John Corzine would then be made Treasury Secretary. John Corzine, of course, was immediate past governor of the state of New Jersey. It was Chris Christie who actually beat John Corzine to become governor of New Jersey. And before Corzine was governor of New Jersey, he was the United States Senator. And before that, he was the CEO of a small little investment bank company called Goldman Sachs. So, long story short, John Corzine had taken over and was operating as CEO of a company that was in exactly the same business that I was in, trading and brokering futures and options contracts in Chicago. And what he did, the name of the company was MF Global, and what he did was he stole all of the customer money, which turned out to be about $1.6 billion, with a B, billion dollars. He was trading in European sovereign debt paper. He was trading derivatives on bonds of junk paper in Europe, namely Italy, Spain, Greece, et cetera, et cetera. It went terribly wrong. He had the company leveraged up. I mean, in retrospect, it's still hard to tell. They still haven't released the exact figures, but he had the company at least leveraged up at a ratio of about 45 times. And so as soon as the European sovereign bond market started getting a little bit twitchy in the summer and early fall of 2011, his position blew up, trading proprietarily for the company. And so when his collateral call or market came, he couldn't meet it. So what he did was he took all of the customer money out of the customer account and used it to pay his margin call. Then beyond that, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, who should have stepped in and guaranteed everybody, locked all of the MF Global customers out of their accounts, wouldn't even let them liquidate their positions while the markets continued to trade, and then engaged in a fraudulent bankruptcy filing, which allowed the investment banks that Corzine was tangled up with to go to the front of the line in the bankruptcy liquidation and put the customers, you guessed it, at the end of the line. And so it took me all of about 2 weeks to see all this unfold and figure out that the marketplace was officially know, low as mine may be, if you had any morality about you at all, there was no way that you could continue to operate as a commodity broker and tell your customers that their money was safe, because it wasn't. And so when that was the case, it wasn't any big heroic decision. It was just, okay, the writing's on the wall. You can't take one more step like this. You have to get all of your customers out of here, shut this down, and walk away. And that's what I did. And in retrospect, it's kind of the weirdest thing, because it was probably one of the most celebrated shutterings of a commodity brokerage firm in history. Rush Limbaugh read part of my Going Galt letter. Glenn Beck read part of my Going Galt letter. It was a huge, huge story on Zero Hedge, and it was just little old me in my little old office trading with my little rancher and farmer clients. But you know, somebody has to sing. If nobody's going to acknowledge objective reality and then act on it, I mean, if it's me that ends up being the person who sets whatever kind of an example it is that I set, well, then there it is, so be it. I guess that's just the way life works out sometimes.
Yeah, and I don't remember how I saw or heard about you. It may have been on a tweet that someone sent around, but I do remember sitting down, and at that time, Glenn Beck was still on TV, I shouldn't say on TV, he was on Fox before he started his own. And he did the whole thing, and that's when I became completely enthralled. And I said, you know, I read this. I was fascinated about it. And then when he started talking about it, and then I think I heard it also up on Hannity, when Hannity was still fairly conservative, and he didn't go rhino on us completely yet. And I said, you know, this is a woman with a lot of courage and guts. And I also, the other thing that struck me was, this is Atlas Shrugged. Magnified. And I was looking at you as if you were Dagny Taggart that finally saw the light.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, when you look at a system and you realize that there is no recourse, there is no rule of law, horrific, horrific, psychopathic, criminal people can do whatever they want to whomever they want, whenever they want. And there's nowhere to turn, because the government that you should be turning to in order to enforce the rule of law and to enforce justice, that entity, that government, not only has no interest in enforcing the rule of law or justice, it is actively aligned with the criminal interest, and in fact, it itself is the instrument of oppression and tyranny. When that's the case, people, you have to stop beating your head against the wall, and you have to acknowledge objective reality and realize that the paradigm has shifted. The polarity has flipped. You can't keep operating under the assumption that a tyrannical regime is somehow going to suddenly wake up one morning and have integrity and do the right thing. These people and the government is now populated by a case of psychopathic oligarchs. You cannot appeal to these people's morality. You cannot appeal to their sense of justice or fairness or anything else. You are wasting your time. Not only are you wasting your time, but the longer you drag all this out and let this persist, the worse and worse and worse it gets. I keep going back like a broken record to the example of Nazi Germany. How much better off would the German people have been if in the mid or late 1930s, when they looked at the Third Reich and realized that they had a tyrannical, evil, psychopathic, satanic regime on their hands, if the German people had risen up and overthrown that government and engaged in righteous sedition and taken those people out of power, it would have spared them having their entire country level and all of their sons killed and 70 million human beings killed in World War II. The onus was on the German people themselves to rise up and overthrow that tyrannical government, and because they did that is why it got to the point where the entire country was basically leveled, and again, all those millions and millions and millions of people, including German soldiers who are human beings too, they all got greased. What I'm trying to beg people to understand is that it is imperative that you nip these things in the bud as much as you possibly can. In terms of our contemporary situation, we know what the situation is. We know that our government has been usurped and overthrown by a cadre of neo-Stalinist psychopaths. This is just objective fact. The longer we stall around and the longer we delude ourselves into believing that the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, A, still exists, and that, B, the Constitution is still in force, and C, that there is a rule of law, the longer we persist into deluding ourselves into that lie, the worse it's going to be. And, man, you think World War II is bad. By the time this mess is over with, if nobody will rise up and do anything, this mess is going to make World War II look like a damn tea party, if you will excuse the pun.
Amen to that. And yeah, this is something that we've been saying. And what I find amazing is that time and time again, we've seen people that are challenging certain laws and regulations that are a direct violation of the Constitution. And then it gets as far as the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will then rule against the Constitution. There was a number of years back, the Supreme Court was against private property rights, and eminent domain, it became where you can then now take someone's property to open a shopping mall. It wasn't to run a power line or a water line or a utility, something that would benefit the actual community, but a shopping mall. And the excuse was jobs benefit the community at the cost of an individual's right to own property.
Certainly. And if you can find me one of the amendments in the Bill of Rights that is still in force and hasn't been overthrown and made null and void, in fact, I'd be happy to hear about it. I, in fact, jokingly had this question put to me the other night, and somebody said, oh, the Seventh Amendment. And I have to admit, at the time, I didn't remember what the Seventh Amendment was, but sure enough, look it up. What's the Seventh Amendment? It's guaranteeing anyone the right to a trial if they have been robbed or defrauded of something with a value in excess of $20. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that appropriate? Tell the MF Global customers that. Tell people who had hundreds and hundreds of thousands, if not into the millions of dollars, wholesale confiscated, stolen right out from under their nose, and those people had exactly zero legal recourse. They just sat there and watched. There was nowhere to turn. There was nothing they could do because the man who stole the money from them was a member of this tyrannical oligarch class. John Corzine was one of Barack Obama's top fundraisers. And in fact, in the first quarter of 2012, which is after MF Global, the collapse had happened, after Corzine had stole the $1.6 billion, in the following quarter, the first quarter of 2012, he was still one of Obama's top fundraisers, bundling in excess of $500,000, which is the top reportable tier. So goodness knows how much he actually bundled in quote-unquote campaign contributions for Obama. The fact that that we're even discussing something like this, the fact that a man who is under investigation for stealing over $1 billion is still making contributions to a presidential campaign, this is so utterly Soviet, there aren't even words to describe it. And back to your original point, go down the amendments, go down the Bill of Rights, and see if you can find one that hasn't been, in fact, overthrown. Even the Quartering Amendment, which I believe is the Third Amendment, I think, prohibiting the government from forcing citizens to quarter military agents in their home, even that has been overthrown. There's a couple, I believe it was in California, but don't quote me on that, who refused to allow law enforcement to move in and occupy their home in order to perform surveillance on their neighbors. And these people were arrested essentially for refusing to quarter government agents. I mean, it's over, guys. It's over. The First Amendment is completely shredded and completely gone. The Second Amendment, I mean, we're still armed, but you know they're coming for that. I mean, good grief. Eric Holder has engaged in shadow war against the sovereign nation of Mexico, intentionally sending American small arms and munitions into the hands of the Sinaloa cartel so that the Sinaloa cartel will then kill the Mexican civilians. And Holder did this for the, and Hillary Clinton as well, for the express purpose of framing the American gun owner as some sort of a villain and providing a matrix by which justification of suspending the Second Amendment could be hatched. I mean, this is insanity, and people are just sitting and watching this like it's some sort of a damn TV show. This isn't a TV show. This is for real. It's deadly serious. You people are being given warning after warning after warning after warning, and all anybody can do is sit around and run their mouth. All they can do is sit around and complain. No one will take any hardcore serious action. You people can't even cancel your cable or satellite feeds. You still have to be subsidizing to the tune of in excess of $100 a month the very media that is working to enslave you. You're so far gone, you can't even do that, much less declare a federal tax strike, much less declare a general work stoppage. And you know what? You're gonna sit around and you're gonna sit around and you're gonna let this go and go and go and go, and then you're gonna wake up one morning, like I said a few minutes ago, and your city's gonna be gone, and your civilization is gonna be gone, and your freedom is gonna be gone, and it's gonna make World War II look like, no pun intended, a tea party.
Now, it's funny, a lot of the stuff that you were talking about, you know, back in February of 2010, when Fast and Furious really finally broke, I caught it, of course, with the Sipsy Street guys, and I was talking about it on air, and I said, this is something that we've got to look into, and I kept on pushing it. Matter of fact, there's a gentleman from New Mexico who owned a gun shop who's still sitting in prison because he cooperated with the BATF. He reported the sales. He did everything he was supposed to do, but they claimed he was a gun runner. And he wrongfully lost his business. His wife became critically ill. I was talking about this, and I said, you've got to demand your elected officials look into it. You were talking about the quartering of government agents inside the house. As soon as I saw that item broke, I said, you've got to be looking at that. And shortly afterwards, there was the Boston bomber, and something very similar happened up there also. And I said, they're going to kick you out of your house. You're not going to have the right to your own property, and they're going to quarter themselves from your property. They are not listening. I stood before my county council complaining about the taxes, and I was saying, listen, my husband and I actually, this happened, I would say, 8 years ago. My husband and I closed our business because the property taxes, they levied on the equipment, every single item in our business, the computer, the desk, the chair, your inventory was being taxed on a property tax basis with the millage at 100%. And I said, our business property may be worth $5,000, but you're telling me I owe you $25,000. We could not operate. We were looking to expand and hire people, but I said, we are closing our business, and anything he goes into is going to be a pen, a pad, and a $200 computer, and try taxing that. And believe it or not, they taxed the $200 computer for 3 years straight. And I said, how can you have this business operate?
Why have you paid it? Why are you still talking about, we've got to get our elected officials on this. How's that working for you? How's the Daryl Issa investigation into Fast and Furious coming along? It isn't. It's all a fraud. They don't care about any of it. Do you people not remember that Eric Holder is, to this day, in contempt of the United States Congress? He was held in contempt of the United States Congress, and nothing happened. You know why? Because you people have a 36-hour attention span. It's a 36-hour news cycle. If the mainstream media, which is an operational arm of the regime, that can't even be debated. If the mainstream media can distract you people for 36 hours, you will completely forget everything that has just happened. Let's look at Hillary Clinton and Benghazi. It was just a few weeks ago that all of the headlines on all the conservative sites were saying Hillary Clinton's political career is finished. This woman is pretty much complicit in the death of Ambassador Chris Stevens, which that's putting it mildly. Hillary Clinton assassinated Ambassador Chris Stevens. Let's not sugarcoat or candy coat that. A few weeks ago, the conservative quote-unquote blogosphere and the Tea Party quote-unquote blogosphere was talking about how Hillary Clinton's political career is finished because of Benghazi. And now here we are, just a few short weeks later, and exactly the same so-called conservative pundits are saying, well, it looks like Hillary Clinton's going to be a shoo-in for 2016. Again, what in the hell is the matter with you people? A few weeks ago, you were acknowledging the fact that this woman is a murderer. She's a murderer who is running guns and surface-to-air man-pad missiles, which have one purpose. The purpose of the man-pads that were run to the Muslim Brotherhood through Libya at Hillary Clinton's behest, and which precipitated the assassination of Ambassador Chris Stevens, the one and only purpose of those man-pads is to shoot down passenger jetliners. Passenger jetliners. That is what these people are giving to the Muslim Brotherhood. That is what these people, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, this is what they are supplying to Al-Qaeda. Surface-to-air missiles to shoot down passenger jetliners. And now it's just like, oh, everybody's forgotten about this. Oh, well, Hillary's going to be in 2016. Well, maybe she'll be better than Obama. Or what even makes me more furious is, oh, look at this. We've got him now. We've got Eric Holder now. Look at this. We've got proof. We've got this. We've got that. We've got the other. Do you understand that being a murdering psychopath is a feature and not a bug to these people? You're not getting rid of Eric Holder. Obama is never going to demand Eric Holder's resignation. Eric Holder is doing exactly what Eric Holder is supposed to do, namely being a murderous psychopath. Why do you think you can appeal to morality with these people? This is like finding documents in 1942 proving the existence of concentration camps in Poland and handing them to Hitler and demanding that he fire or arrest Heinrich Himmler. What in the hell is the matter with you? That's their job. It's their job to be murderous psychopaths. That's exactly what the Obama regime wants. And whether it's, you know, I don't believe that Obama is actually the leadership in any way, shape, manner, or form. When I say Obama, I'm talking about the cadre. I'm not talking about the slack-jawed sodomite who lays in his upstairs study watching ESPN and receiving oral servicing from his male concubines all day. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the regime. I'm talking about Valerie Jarrett. I'm talking about Eric Holder. I'm talking about all of these people who are actually running this oligarchy. And you actually think that you can collect evidence against Eric Holder, and oh boy, we got him now, and oh, Daryl Issa, he's going to shut all this down. We're so close to getting him. Wake the hell up. How many cycles, how many iterations of this do you have to go through before you realize that it ain't going to happen? How many times do you have to be basically prison raped by the likes of Speaker Boehner and Mitch McConnell and all of these so-called conservative Republican members of Congress, how many times do you have to be prison raped and sold out by these people until you figure out that they're not on your side either? I mean, really, the lack of an ability to process what is objectively in front of you is just maddening to me beyond description. This isn't hard. This isn't complex. If someone is prison raping you, they're not your friend. Wake the hell up, people.
Wow, Anne, way to go. Annie, does she sound a lot like your co-host who gets called a radical and a liberal or right on? You know, that's just so perfectly well put, Anne. And I don't know if Anne, like a year or so ago, I actually looked at the King was trying to get you on. So explain to me, Anne. I say this over and over. Why are we so freaking stupid? Why are we such spineless pussies that we don't stand up? I mean, what is wrong with us?
I have the answer. Number one, it is a complete and total lack of faith. The church has been infiltrated and has been basically completely de-virilized and not destroyed, because the church will never be completely destroyed. But our Lord said the gates of hell would not prevail against it. But we've got our faces pressed up real good and tight up against the gates of hell. So there's this complete devirilization, a complete loss of faith. And how a loss of faith manifests itself is in quivering, trembling fear, which is exactly what our Lord warned us against over and over and over in the gospel. Be not afraid. Stop being afraid. Do not fear anything. Do not fear anything in this world. Fear that which can send you to hell for all eternity. Don't fear anything in the world. That is what is completely absent in this culture. What also is completely absent in this culture, which is a corollary of this, and is a function of, again, the communist infiltration of our society and the elevation of the quote-unquote feminist mentality, is that masculinity has been all but eradicated in Western civilization. Oh, sure, there's men walking around who are muscle-bound and have plenty of hair growing out of their chest, but when it comes to actually living life and actually existing in a masculine way, not so much. We have an entire culture of quivering, trembling cowards who do nothing but sit on their sofas passively, staring at a television, watching other men run around on a court or on a field, wistfully imagining themselves to be somewhat masculine when in fact they are not. They are no such thing. Masculinity is completely absent. Are you kidding me? Have we no knowledge of history whatsoever? There's a great Dennis Miller line, which is funny, but it really encapsulates everything. You know what? George Washington was blowing people's heads off because they dared to tax his breakfast beverage, and it wasn't even coffee. You guys are getting rolled. I mean, straight up having your asses handed to you at every conceivable turn, and you can't even lift a finger to defend yourself, your family, your community, your civilization, or the church. And you know what? If that's how you want to live your life, if that's the way you choose to be, you will deserve all of the hell that rains down on top of you. And the way this will be fixed is that, and this is hard, so brace for this, you effete, devirilized men will be exterminated. And real men at some point, and it may be, you know, centuries from now, real men will step in to take your place. The thing that scares me to death, that absolutely scares me to death, is who are these men that are going to replace you? Will they be Chinese? Will they be Muslimoid? I mean, this is the stuff of nightmares, of wake up in the middle of the night granddaughter going to be married to some pagan Chinese? Is my granddaughter going to be put into a forced marriage with some Muslim pedophile 75 years from now? Because all of the men of this civilization, frankly, got greased because they refused to act like men. That is the trajectory that we are heading down. This whole issue is much bigger than just the United States. We are talking about an existential question with regard to Western civilization. Don't think for a second that you people can't get completely wiped out. It actually wouldn't be too terribly difficult, notwithstanding the fact that, yes, people in the United States are armed. You know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't make a damn bit of difference if not one of you will pick up those arms at any point and defend yourself, your family, your nation, your civilization, and the church. If you won't ever fire a weapon, you might as well be completely disarmed.
Wow. And that is, you're a replica of me. And I like it. You use the word psychopath a lot. You actually, you've stolen all my props. All right, and let's go to a standpoint. Let's come to the beginning of the line. Ann Barnhart, how do we change this? What can people do? Because obviously it starts with me. What can individual people do to at least slow down the momentum and maybe turn to a different direction?
Okay, I have a 4-point plan. Point one, point A, media strike. For the love of God, if you are still having a cable or satellite feed come into your house, you have got to turn it off. You are subsidizing, you are paying for your own destruction. You are paying to have Marxist agitporn pumped not only into your house, but into the house of your neighbors and into the face of your children and their children. Do you know when Al Gore had that channel, Current TV, do you remember all that whole mess, and they brought Keith Olbermann over to be an anchor on Current TV? One of the interesting pieces of information that came out of that whole Al Gore cable channel debacle was how much exactly these cable channels are receiving from the cable companies themselves. So the average listener out there might say, hey, Ann, I don't watch MSNBC. I don't watch Current TV. I don't watch Al Jazeera. I don't watch any of that stuff. Well, you know what? You're paying for it. And how much you're paying for it works out to be approximately, just round figures, 12 cents per subscriber per month. Current TV was making enormous, I mean millions and millions. I think it worked out to something like $80 million a year, which was the lion's share of their budget. It wasn't the advertising revenue that they were operating on. They were operating off of these cable and satellite subscriber revenues, which everybody pays for. They're getting like $80, $85 million a year in as their budget off of these cable and satellite revenues. And it might have been more than that. I've forgotten the numbers, but it can all be pulled up. You're paying for that. You're subsidizing that. You're paying for the gay channel on cable. You're paying for MTV and all of that stuff. Even if you never watch it, even if you block it, even if you set up a block on your box, you're still paying for it. Why would you do this? Why would you pay for your own destruction? This makes no sense. And if you haven't yet fully grasped the fact that all of these people, including Fox News, are just feeding you agitprop and manipulating you and playing you with this 36-hour news cycle, as I talked about earlier, if you don't understand this, well, then you're irredeemably stupid, and I can't help you, okay? So step A, cancel the cable or satellite feed. Step B, do what I did, declare a federal tax strike. After MF Global, you've got to be kidding me. I'm not going to write the federal government any more checks. These people are complicit in a theft of an outright $1,000 and you expect me to continue to pay for this? There's absolutely no way. Now look at all the crimes that we know are being committed by this regime. Look at Fast and Furious. A shadow war against the sovereign nation of Mexico, intentionally killing civilians, okay? Benghazi, and on and on. I mean, the number of just unfathomable crimes, they aren't just scandals, they are crimes against humanity that this regime is engaging in. You still think that you're obliged to pay for this? Are you out of your mind? A tax strike is ideal. It is the most effective, nonviolent means of remedying an out-of-control government. And you say, well, Ann, it doesn't matter. They'll just print more money. Yeah, that's true. They will continue to just print more money on the Federal Reserve level, and that's a whole other conversation. The point is, what would it demonstrate to the federal government, to this cadre of literally just a few thousand oligarchs? What would it demonstrate to them if tens of millions of Americans just didn't file a return next April 15th? What would that show them? It would show them that we're not afraid. And now here we move back to that theme again. Be not afraid. You're all quivering in fear. Oh, the government's going to come after me. The government's going to do this. The government's going to do that. Again, what have we learned from this IRS and NSA scandal? Hello, the IRS is going to come after you anyway. And the NSA is already spying on you. They already know. They're already watching you. They're already coming after you to maliciously audit you. Why would you cower in fear when you already know that the opponent is on offense? The only way you win a war is not to play prevent defense, but to go on offense yourself, and not just go on offense, but fix your bayonet and charge these bastards. I mean, how do you think this is going to work? Oh, let's all hunker down and keep our heads down, and, well, maybe they'll just go away at some point. Really? Seriously? Really? You think the Obama regime is just someday going to wake up and say, yes, we're all satisfied with the level of tyrannical power we now have. We're going to go ahead and just stop everything. We're not going to push this any farther. Really? Can you give me an example of a tyranny that has ever operated that way? And more to the point, is that how Satan operates? Does Satan get to a certain level and say, yeah, I'm satisfied now. I don't think I'll push this any harder. No. Evil is relentless. It is insatiable. It will never stop. These people, the Obama regime and all tyrants all over the world, they are never satisfied. It is never, ever enough. There isn't enough money. There isn't enough power. These people, at the end of the day, what they want is they want, like Satan, to be worshipped as God. They want to be God. And obviously, they can never, ever, ever have that. And so, therefore, their drive for this evil quest to just dominate everyone and everything, it can never be quenched. It can never be quenched. And they will never stop. They will never back off. They will never let up. If we don't fight back with exactly the same level of intensity, if we're over here playing nicey-nice, and, well, we have to dialogue with these people, and we have to reach some level of compromise, again, you are going to get your ass handed to you, and you will deserve it.
I'm sorry. And, you know, there's one thing that I keep on telling everyone. I keep on saying you've got to start at the grassroots. And you've got to look at every single elected official you got before and whether or not they deserve to be in office. I mean, I am persona non grata in Lindsey Graham's office because back in, I believe it was 2009, I got quoted in Politico saying, I will actively work to see he is not reelected. Now, here in South Carolina, he's up for reelection. And so far, we've got four people in the field. We've got a couple of more coming in. And I have been fighting tooth and nail to get the word out. And this is what people have to do. We've got to take these people that have kowtowed to these policies, kick them out of office and get some people back in with George Washington.
I hate to be a downer here, but how's that strategy working for you? Let's take Alan West as a great example. How did Alan West work out for us? Alan West was the last politician I will ever have any level of, dare I use the word, enthusiasm about. When he first came out and he was running and he got elected to his congressional office, I thought, all right, here's a guy who might actually go to Washington and do something constructive. And what did he do? He sold out just like all the rest of them. He voted for the Pigford scam. He voted to raise the quote-unquote debt ceiling. He voted to enable Obama's illegal incursion into Libya. And look what that turned out to be. That's a gun-running scam to Al-Qaeda. And Alan West enabled that. And I still, to this day, get emails every single day from Alan West that say, aren't you infuriated by all this? If you're infuriated by all this, please give me a donation of $25, $50, or $100 today. These people are whores. They're in it for the money. You're not going to fix it by saying, oh, rah, rah, we've got to get these people out, and we're going to turn this all around in 2014. Okay, did you not see the 2012 election? Did you not see the rampant voter fraud? Have you not yet come to the realization that there aren't any more free elections in this system? Again, the constitutional republic is dead. It has been overthrown by a cadre of neo-Stalinist psychopathic tyrants. Neo-Stalinist psychopathic tyrants do not hold fair elections. Furthermore, you would have to be yourself a psychopath and a whore to want anything to do with that cesspit of humanity that is Washington, D.C. As I've said before, the proof that someone is unfit to hold national-level office in the United States is the fact that they either, A, hold that office or are seeking to hold that office. You would have to be out of your mind to go into that mess in Washington, D.C. You would have to be out of your mind to lend any sort of legitimacy at this point to the United States Congress, which is quite possibly the most corrupt legislative body at this point that has ever existed. And yes, I fully understand the enormity of that statement. The United States Congress today is quite possibly the most corrupt legislative body that has ever existed in human history. Really? You think you're going to go up there and fix all that? You think that this can just be turned around on a dime? You're crazy. Let's go back to your topic of the Supreme Court. Some people argue that we already live in a tyranny underneath one man, and no, it's not Barack Obama. Very intelligent people theorize that the tyranny that we live under is the tyranny of either Justice Anthony Kennedy or Chief Justice John Roberts, however the court happens to split on a given decision. You're absolutely right. The Supreme Court is not doing its job. It does not interpret the laws relative to the Constitution. It creates completely new laws and irrational laws out of whole cloth. And usually it's done on a 5-4 split with either Justice Anthony Kennedy or Chief Justice John Roberts deciding the fate of all of us. This is insanity. You're going to go to Congress. You're going to repopulate Congress. When they get up there, what are they going to do? They're going to fight against 534 other psychopaths. They're going to fight against the psychopaths on the Supreme Court, and they are going to also have to fight against all of the massive psychopaths in the executive branch. You cannot fix this that way. You just keep clinging to this deluded false hope that, oh, we're going to turn this around in 2014, and the fundraising continues, and the rah-rah cheerleading continues, and meanwhile, the fat, lazy, de-virilized, contra-educated, and now at this point uneducable masses, especially the men, lay on their sofa. all this as a latter-day entertainment. It's a latter-day bread and circuses. Do you understand that? Do you understand that Fox News and all the talking head pundit commentary about all of these paradigms is nothing more than bread and circuses entertainment for people whose IQs are 15 to 20 points higher than the average imbecile that's watching ballroom Dancing with the Stars or football? That's all it is. And if you don't come to grips with this reality, then frankly, you're part of the problem too.
Wow. Go ahead, Annie.
All right. I just want to know, why can't we do this as a two-prong approach? The same way that you say you go after the satellite companies and taxes and everything else, why can't we also go after the elected officials? And, yes, Alan West was a complete disappointment, but he's not in office. We are going after Lindsey Graham. We want to yank him out of office. If we who we select to replace him disappoints us, he's going to be out of office and we're going to
Your argument is specious because Alan West had his district redrawn out from underneath him by the psychopaths in Washington, D.C., and every one of you people was rah-rah cheering behind him to get elected. And if he had been reelected, you'd be waving your flags right now, this very second, and calling it a victory. Look, our guy won. Yay, rah-rah us. Okay, no, your argument is false because you'd be tickled to death if he was still up there. No, this is not going to work anymore. This is hardcore, and I know that your Tea Party listeners don't want to hear this, but look, the American experiment has been played out, and it has been proved a failure. And I would remind every single one of you that John Adams himself predicted this. He said that the quality of a constitutional republic is wholly contingent upon the moral fiber of the people who comprise that republic. It's the problem at the end of the day is with the people in the United States. The problem is with the people. You can't fix this by saying, all right, we're going to take this mass of 310 million people, almost all of whom are moral degenerates, faithless, lazy. The men are all castrated and devirilized. These people are all completely contraeducated and now almost to the point where they are uneducable. They have a 7-second attention span. And you think that you are going to reconstitute a government that is fit to be the government of the most powerful economy and military in the history of the world. You think that you're going to turn around this cult of child sacrifice? You think you're going to turn around this cult of sodomy? Listen to the people who are in your own beloved Republican Party. What are they telling you? We have to give up on all these social issues because that's not going to win elections. We have to just give up on this whole abortion thing. We have to give up on the gay marriage thing. We just need to focus on the fiscal questions and the questions of states' rights and so forth. Really? No. Break open your Bible. Break open to the book of Jonah and see what the Lord says people need to do in order to turn their civilization around. We need to have people out in the streets, rending their clothes, begging God's forgiveness and doing serious, serious penance for the fact that we've murdered, what is it now, 50 million children in the United States alone in the last 40 years? How many people do you see doing that? How many people in the Republican Party actually believe that that abortion is a holocaust against the unborn? How many people in the Republican Party are actually distraught at the fact that 6 in 10 black children conceived in New York City are aborted? how many Republicans really think that that's a problem? Some of them may think that it's merely distasteful, but they're not willing to sacrifice their political careers over it, and they're certainly not willing to sacrifice their private lives, their private livelihoods, their private businesses over something like that. How many people are willing to lay down and sacrifice their lives and their livelihood over the ratification of sodomite marriage and the ratification of the sodomite lifestyle in total? Probably not many, I'm guessing. There is no sense of any urgency with any of this. Nobody understands what the problems are. We keep being dragged incrementally further and further and further towards the enemy. And then when we can pull back the other way, maybe a quarter of an inch, we declare that some sort of a massive victory. But this civilization
I can give you some hope. And I believe the church I belong to, which is the Episcopal Church here in South Carolina, we turned around and broke away from the rest of the National Episcopal Church over abortion and over gay marriage because we didn't believe they were taking the right path. We wanted to stay where abortion is wrong and gay marriage is wrong. It should be between a man and a woman for the purpose of procreation and based upon love. And we said to the National Church, no, we do not want gay ministers ordained. We stood there, and the church this past year broke away on the very principles you say we don't stand for. Yes, there are people fighting the fight. We have, I guess, we are working as an undercurrent and as an underground, but yes, there are people out there fighting that are. And, you know, I think we're going to follow the 100-person principle, or they call it the monkey principle, that, you know, you teach one monkey to do something, or you teach them the basics, you know, the principles of the founding fathers, the principles of the Bible, the principles of true Christianity and Judaism, and that person then spreads it. And by the time you know it, then now there's 100. Then you magnify that 100 by another 100 or 1,000. And suddenly the whole tribe starts to begin to think the same way you are. And this is happening. And it started long before.
No, it's not, sweetie. No, it's not. I have to correct you. No, it's not. With each passing day, the culture is getting more debased, more corrupted. I mean, you people also have your televisions. Turn on your television. What does every single show feature? Sodomite. Heterosexual fornication, sex outside of marriage, every single show, without exception. Oh, but no, we're turning this all around. No, actually, you're not. And I appreciate your optimism, and I appreciate your attempt at having hope, but we also have to deal with objective reality. And arguing in any way that we're turning this aircraft carrier around in the bathtub is simply false. It's simply false. No such thing is happening. It's getting worse and worse and worse with each passing day. And all you have to do is look at the young people. Talk to the average teenager today and see what they think about these things. Does the average teenager have any problem with homosexuality, even conservative teenagers? No, not really. They don't care. They've been completely inculcated to believe that all of these things are not just completely fine, but they're natural and even praiseworthy. That's your kid. That's who's coming up, okay? We're so trembling in fear, we can't even openly state that sodomy is a sin that cries out to heaven for God's vengeance. We can't even say anything like that. We're just cowering in fear. Oh, we need to dialogue. We need to be tolerant. We need to understand, blah, blah, blah. How many of you out there understand that contraception is a mortal sin and that you're not going to turn your civilization around until your civilization rejects not just abortion but contraception? Because contraception leads to rampant divorce, rampant adultery, the complete objectification of women, the complete divorcing of procreation from the marital embrace. Oh, no, your civilization is doomed unless you acknowledge these things. No one is doing it, not even close. And I'm doing everything I can to not be completely condescending and snarky, but you really can't make any arguments or appeals to me citing the Episcopal Church in the United States as any sort of an example. Sorry. You just can't do that. So
all right, be yourself. Don't worry about us, Annie. Be yourself. Absolutely.
No.
That's how we do it.
No, I agree with a lot of things you say, but for some reason I just cannot lose my optimism. Maybe that's just the way I'm wired. But we've got Thomas in on the line. And Thomas, you wanted to make a comment, because I know, especially when it comes to abortion, and you have a lot to say.
Well, hi, Ann. I enjoy your passion and your fire, and I want to say this. One thing that we have to remember is that we can walk and stand in righteous anger, but you're absolutely right. We need to do something about that, because the whole issue with shutting up with the social issues because we're going to lose favor with liberals and all that garbage, I am so sick. I'm like you. I'm sick and tired of hearing that. And here's the other thing I'm sick and tired of. I'm sick and tired of Christians, professing believers, cowering in a corner in the face of evil as if the devil stands a chance against God. He gave us the power and authority in Christ Jesus, but it's unfortunate that you have a lot of churches who have their heads so far Barack Obama's rear end that they traded their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for their new Messiah. And I'm gonna say it. He's the new Messiah for a lot of Christians, because when you refuse to address right and wrong, when you refuse to address the things that's tearing down the very fabric of our nation because we're worried about the big bad government. What the scriptures say in the word? Don't fear those who can kill the body, but fear the one who can destroy both the body and the soul in hell. So while we as Christians professing and cowering in a corner, we better step up, and it's time for us to get boots on the ground and start walking and empowering the authority and speaking up, because at the end of the day, we will be held responsible for everything that's going on. This country is in the position that it's in, not because evil and tyranny is rearing its ugly head, but because the body of Christ allowed evil and tyranny to rear its ugly head. That's all I have to say.
Well said, sir. I agree with you completely. People are responsible for their government. And the most culpable civilization in the history of humanity is the civilization whose foundational document begins with the three words, "we the people." I mean, seriously, if you are going to make the argument that the people of the United States are not responsible for their government while having a constitution that clearly says, "we the people," in order to form a more perfect union, and having a declaration of independence that says that the power of the government comes from the consent of the governed, and then argue that we're not responsible for this, you're absolutely right. And this touches on just your history and how we will deserve it if and when we are destroyed by outside forces, because we the people are responsible for allowing tyrants to persist in their office.
Oh, God, we must be archived. Yeah, it's all the shit you work on my dollar farm.
Well, you know, and what people forget is that we the people, we are the government. You know, the only government we have is we, the people. And once we forget that, we allow the ones that we elect to represent us to then become tyrants. Once we allow them to become tyrants, we abrogate our responsibility. And that's the difference. For somehow, the progressives have put this thing in our head, this mindset that there are the people and there's the government. No, there is not. It is the people, which is the government. And when we remember that, we take the power back.
Well, it's you're going to have to do better than what you're doing right now. And thinking that you're going to be able to work within the matrix of the representative republic as it used to exist before it was overthrown, I'm sorry, but once again, I have to reiterate, the constitutional republic no longer exists. The Constitution is no longer in force. If you are trying to play this game by those rules, you are going to lose because the enemy has already, you know, upended the checkerboard. You're trying to play checkers on a checkerboard that was upended years ago. It's not going to work. You're not going to turn this around by saying, rah, rah, let's get our boys in 2014. A, there aren't free elections. There aren't freely contested elections anymore, precisely because you're under a neo-Stalinist tyranny and they don't allow free elections. And B, all right, let's say you get some of your quote-unquote people in. They're still going to have to be going up against the likes of, you know, a Sheila Jackson Lee and a Hank Johnson, whose quote-unquote votes in Congress are of equal weight. Again, this is abject insanity. You've got people who are not just psychopaths, but some of these people who are roaming around and occupying the halls of the United States Capitol have IQs that are, you know, sub 85. You've got people who are literally so stupid that they could not function in any meaningful way in the quote-unquote real world. They couldn't hold down actual jobs. They couldn't perform actual tasks. That's how stupid some of these people are. And again, we the people have sat by and watched as people with sub-85 IQs have not just been elevated to office, but have been given enormous power over not just the people of the United States, but by proxy over the entire planet, because the decisions and the actions that come out of Washington, D.C. affect pretty much every person on Earth at some point or another. The notion that a Hank Johnson or a Sheila Jackson Lee or there's any number of Nancy Pelosi, these people are functionally mentally retarded. And if people have just sat back and watched these people occupy the halls of their capital and shrugged their shoulders and said, "Nah, there's nothing I can do about it." Oh, and you know, they read about these people's gaffes and exploits on the internet like it's entertainment. I mean, be honest, how many of you go to sites like Hot Air or Ace of Spades or any of these so-called right-leaning websites and look with a perverse entertainment and a perverse glee at these YouTube clips of these people just making absolute jackasses out of themselves to the point where you're almost embarrassed for them, even though they're evil psychopaths? I mean, that clip of Hank Johnson interrogating a Navy admiral and asking him if there was a risk of the island of Guam capsizing if we deployed too many Marines there. And he was dead serious. And see, you're laughing. That's not funny. That's not
no,
funny.
No, it's not.
Man,
it's extremely sad.
This man doesn't have the intelligence to work the French fry machine at McDonald's. This man shouldn't be allowed to make change at a cash register, and he has one vote in 530
is saying that? Why was he not arrested?
He's a borderline ephemophile. He's a sexual predator. And we all sit there and read this and laugh at it and laugh at Matt Drudge's headlines. You know, every other day it's a new wiener pun headline that Matt Drudge has on. Like, this is some sort of perverse entertainment. These people are destroying our culture and are making all of us culpable for what they're doing because we sit back and watch this and don't do anything about it. We don't rise up. We don't declare a tax strike. We don't declare work stoppages. We don't do anything. We just sit back and shrug our shoulders and say, oh, well, we'll get them in the next round of congressional elections. Oh, except there isn't going to be a next round of congressional elections because the whole thing's fixed anyway. Let's imagine, just as a pure thought exercise, this is never, ever going to happen, but let's attack it as a thought exercise. Let's say I announce that I'm running for Congress tomorrow. Do you have any idea what would be done to me in the mainstream media if I did that? Do you have any idea the level of character assassination that would go on if I did that? My life would be completely destroyed. But here's the interesting thing. And after I went viral back in 2011, this became very clear to me because I had people begging me to run for Congress. If I had done it, I would have made my balance sheet would have increased by seven figures overnight. It would have made me instantly a millionaire if I had filed papers and filed my $10,000 to run for Congress. I could have been an instantaneous millionaire if I had done that. And you know what? I'd rather die in the gutter. I'd rather die in the gutter than legitimize the cesspool that is Washington, D.C., and legitimize a system that it is clear now is irretrievably broken. If I ran for Congress, it would be completely selfish. I would be walking into not only complete character assassination and destruction of myself, but probably also people that I am related to, acquaintances and business contacts that I've had would be also gravely harmed by this. But I would simultaneously probably also become a multimillionaire, not unlike Sarah Palin, okay? Why did she walk into all of this? What is she doing? At the end of the day, she's making money. And I know a lot of you out there are big-time Sarah Palin fans. This woman has a bully pulpit or had a bully pulpit that's massive. And what did she do with it? She parlayed it into money. She wrote a book on weight loss. She set up her family members with shows on cable. Seriously, that's all you can think to do. Western civilization is swirling down the toilet, and all you can think to do is to get yourself reality shows and write a book on weight loss. And you have one of the best and biggest bully pulpits that anyone has ever been handed in the last 50 years. I mean, seriously, there's no hope. This isn't going to work, and you guys have got to get your head around this. I beg you.
All right.
You
actually explained to my co-host, Mike, exactly why I refuse to run for office. My favorite phrase is, I will clean a sewer before I ever run for elected seat. And he hasn't understood that, but I think now you explained it exactly right.
Well,
and I really do I do have to go because we have to do the dedication. So, Ann, you know what? You are welcome back to clean my clock anytime. This has been enjoyable show that I have had in a long time. I said, by far, I do not mind you kicking my butt anytime.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on.
Ann, wait a minute, Ann of our heart. Before you go, two things. I have the nickname, I don't think you know this, Cool Mike. Do you remember me writing you? And you called me a psychopath when I did a show. I put together a show, and I included you without asking you. And you said, like, who are you? And I wrote back, and I said, I'm a friend of Andrea's. And you called me a psycho. I thought it was funny myself.
Yes, I remember that. You were publicizing me as being on your show, but I hadn't – there was no RSVP or anything, and I was a little off by that, but I'm very glad – let's do a virtual internet handshake, and everything's cool, and God bless you.
Well, here's something I want to tell
God
you. Well, wait a minute. Here's something to verify what Ann said, and this is truth. For the first time in the history of the world, a token honky as a write-in candidate under the Republican ticket got the most votes in the city of Detroit in this last election a week ago at this time. Now, if anyone wants to tell me that that is a legitimate election, he was a write-in candidate. That verifies exactly what Ann says. These things are so rigged. We're just so stupid. It's almost like one of those things where we're hypnotized, but we're still, on top of being hypnotized, we're too stupid to even know we're stupid.
Yes.
Well, Ann, I want to thank you so much. And your website is?
www.barnhart, spelled BARNHARDT.biz, B-I-Z.
I'm posting
right,
it in the chat room.
Show page.
I'll post it in our chat room. Yeah, I will post
and
it in the chat room.
And it's up on the show page, too. So when people click on the show to listen to the podcast, they will see it also. Ann, thank you so much. And I definitely want you back because, you know what? I'm glad someone takes the gloves off and starts punching.
Right.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yes. And by the way, Ann, now that before you hang up, I can say you ain't ugly, Ann. Just a comment from my end.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Ann Barnhart, ladies and gentlemen, when she gets this civil unrest going, Cool Mike is right behind her, and we ain't going to be carrying no baseball bats.
Oh,
wow,
God bless.
I
will be carrying
show.
The banner behind her. But anyone that listens to the show knows that we always do a dedication to the fallen hero at the start of the show. Sometimes things get a little turned around, and we end up doing them at the end. And, Mike, if you would pull up, this is an Army mix, if you can. This goes out to Staff Sergeant Sonny C. Zimmerman.
It's plain.
And this was posted in Lima, Ohio. Staff Sergeant Sonny C. Zimmerman, 25, formerly of Waynesfield, was killed in action July 16, 2013, in Afghanistan. Sonny was born August 21, 1987, in Lima, to Chris and Michelle Turner Zimmerman. His father survives in Waynesfield. His mother survives in Waynesfield. And stepfather, David Fishbach, survives in Ottoville. On September 30, 2012, he married Morgan McGee, and she survived in Lima. Other survivors include a daughter, Riley McVictor, grandparents, Ronnie and Loretta Zimmerman of Waynesfield, Lucy Turner of Belfonte, two sisters, Kaylee Zimmerman of Waynesfield, and Staff Sergeant Bailey Zimmerman of Polk Air Force Base, North Carolina, a stepbrother, Andy Fishbach of Nebraska, a stepsister, Andy Fishbach of Columbus, father and mother-in-law Kevin and Christina McGee of Lima, brother-in-law Matt McGee of Lima, and sister-in-law Nancy Andrew Wright of Alexandria, Kentucky. Sonny was a 2005 graduate of Waynesfield Goshen High School. He was a member of Waynesfield United Methodist Church. He was an avid fan of Ohio State University Buckeyes, the Cleveland Browns, and the Detroit Red Wings. He played roller hockey while attending high school. He played football and baseball. Sonny was assigned to Company A, 1st Battalion, 506th Infantry Regiment, 4th Brigade Combat Team, 101st Airborne Division, where he was an infantry squad leader. His awards include a Purple Heart, 3 Army Commendation Medals, 2 Army Achievement Medals, 2 Army Good Conduct Medals, the National Defense Service Medal, 3 Afghan Campaign Medals, the Global War on Terrorism Service Medal, the Non-Commissioned Officer Professional Development Ribbon, the Army Service Ribbon, 3 Overseas Ribbons, the NATO Medal, the Combat Infantry Badge, and the Air Assault Badge. We dedicate this show to this hero. Little is known about how he was killed in action. It was only July 16th of last month. but we know he died a hero. He died doing the job that so many of us have not done. He has served and protected the United States of America, our rights and our liberties. We dedicate this show to him, to all men and women out there that are serving in the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, who serve as emergency service responders in the fire department, the police department, and in EMS. These men and women lay their lives on the line every day. Some are able to go home every night. Others serve for years at a time away from their family and friends, missing everything, the joys and liberties that we enjoy today. Simply being able to be home, sitting in front of the TV, and turning to their favorite show. We say thank you. And to them, we dedicate the song by Todd Allen Herndon, My Name is America. We can never say thank you enough. May God bless them all.
Of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger, and I'll rise. Others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name